And I want you to do something for me, for the Lord. Do something for yourself, actually. Do yourself a favor right now. I need you to pretend like this is the first time you ever have heard what the first commandment is and the greatest commandment. Can you do that? If you will say, I want to listen to this message today like it's the first time I ever heard that there was a greatest commandment. There's a lot of commandments in the Bible. But Jesus said there's one that takes supremacy above all others. And if there's one commandment that's greater than all others, then there's one accomplishment that's greater than all others, and that's obeying that commandment, living that commandment out. That means that the reward for honoring what Jesus says is the greatest gets the greatest reward too. And so you do yourself a favor and just say, I want to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to listen to God's word today like it's the first time I ever heard it. Really, honestly, when you've been in church for a long time, we can become so familiar with certain themes that it actually, like, it's like you could recite them in your sleep, but it also hurts us. Like, yeah, greatest commandment is. No. Let's look at it today. We're going to look at Mark 12, 28 through 30, what Jesus says is the greatest commandment. Jeff and I, we've been in ministry since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. No, we've been in ministry since we were 20. We got married really young, right away, started serving in ministry, and maybe 20, 21 years old. So, I mean, we're probably approaching 20, almost 23 years in ministry. And, you know, throughout my Christian adulthood, what is impressive to me has actually changed. I think when I was younger, I was really, really impressed when someone carried a strong anointing. I mean, I love the anointing. I do. I really love the presence of God. But, you know, if someone could get up and the anointing flowed, I was like, whoa, that is so impressive, that gift, right? And that gift is powerful. But I'm not quite as enamored with it as I used to be. I think at different times through my life, I was maybe really, really impressed with certain gifts and talents. I remember meeting this man who had a national ministry, and he had been part of an international revival that had been televised. And I met him, and I was like, I felt like starstruck, like blinded by the gleam of his gifts. It was one of those kinds of things where I'm like, how could one person have so many talents inside their being? Really, truly talented. I mean, he was like planting multiple churches on different continents while running a multi-million-dollar business. Guys, like, I can do one thing. One thing I can do. I have the ability to focus on one thing. And this guy's like running a multi-million-dollar business and planting churches on multiple continents at the same time, using like a private jet to fly back and forth from continents to continent. That's incredible, right? And I remember, like, just the Lord gave me a word for this guy. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to give him a word. Like, look at him. He's amazing. He doesn't need a word from me. Like, really, honestly, I was embarrassed. Like, I was embarrassed to give the man a word from the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that's right. This was a lot of years ago. Praise the Lord, we all grow, right? But I'm like literally in agony that God gave me this word. I'm like, give it to somebody else. I don't even want to go up to this guy and give him a word. I don't. Like, last week, he got a word from Cindy Jacobs. He doesn't need a word from me. Cindy is amazing. She's got her, you know, TV stuff. Right? Just telling you real emotions. But I'm like, I'll never tell you no. I'll never tell you no. But in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit like interrupts me. And he goes, what would make you think that that man is pleasing to me? Whoa. Now, the Lord didn't tell me, thus saith the Lord, he's not pleasing to me. The Lord didn't say that. But I know what the Lord was doing. He was breaking something. Autumn, I don't want you to be starstruck with people's gifts. I don't want you to be overly impressed when I've given somebody a lot of talent. That's not what I want you to be overly impressed by. And I would say in the last 5 to 6 years, there's one thing that has become the most impressive thing to me. When I see a middle-aged to retirement-age person burning with fiery love for Jesus. I mean, they don't have to have a ministry. They don't have to be a preacher. But if I see a 60-year-old that's giving everything to Jesus and like laying down their life and living for the Lord, and they entered into retirement, not to golf, fine if you like golfing, not to golf, but to go, I'm like, whoa, whoa. Like one in a million. There's only like one in a million of you. There's this precious couple, Wilma and Raymond Ray Phibbs. Did I get the name right? Phibbs is the last name. And they were teachers and administrators their entire life, loving Jesus, raising a family. But when Ray was like, when he was in high school, he was young, the Lord gave him an open vision that he would have a ministry in India. It just never seemed to happen, and he got married, and he became a teacher, and then he became a school administrator, and his wife was a teacher, and they lived their entire life loving Jesus, giving him everything, and then they retired, and the Lord said, now it's time, go to India. They're like close to 80. They, when they're home, they come to this pastor's conference that Jeff and I go to twice a year in Brookings. And we're talking like upper 70s, spending the majority of their life in India. You guys, I've been to India. It is not where you retire to. I mean, God bless the Indian people. It's rough. The creature comforts are low, low, low. I mean, I walked through the streets of Lucknow and the sewer is right there, open. They have open sewers, you know. And the houses that have indoor plumbing, the pipe ran along the outside of the house at a slope and just dumped into the ditch that ran alongside the road. And occasionally you would see children getting a glass of water out of it. I mean, it is another world. And this is where they retired. And I probably never seen more people with more joy of the Lord on them. Whoa. Joy to be alive, joy to serve their king, joy to do a new work in another country. To me, that is one of the most impressive things that could ever be on a person. An abandonment to a love for the Lord and a consecrated life to the day they die. And I'm telling you my little journey of what impresses me, because I'm hoping for you today that you get a new vision for what you want to grow up to be, no matter what age you are, and a new vision of what truly impresses us. I love a person with, I want every single one of us to have strong gifts. We have gifts from the Lord. We should grow in those gifts. We should use them for the glory of the Lord. But we don't worship anybody because they have a gift. It was a gift. They didn't do anything even to earn it. It was a gift. It was given to them by the Lord, right? I honor the gift. I honor the people that and their gifts. I want to honor it. But the thing that impresses me most is if someone can live their life and at the end of their life, they're unoffended and not bitter. Whoa. Wow. Wow. There's this sweet, wonderful lady from Pierre. Her name is Janie Cass. And I didn't even expect to do this, but she is so precious. And she goes to like the Assembly of God Church there in Pierre. And I've known her since I was 18 years old. And she's into retirement now. But she was always hungry for revival. I mean, I have no memory of that woman where she's not loving the presence of God, worshiping with a flag, just like one of those people that's like a human sponge for the presence of God because she's so hungry. If the Lord's going to touch one person in the room, it's going to be her because she's just like, you know, just hungry. And here she was at the 24-hour prayer gathering. And I looked over at her and I said, wow. Wow. I've known that woman for 25 years. And she's got the same, if not more, burning, fiery passion for Jesus in his presence that she had when she was in her 40s. And I went over and I said, Jeannie, would you lay hands on me? And of course, she's like so sweet. Oh, why would I need to do that? I'm like, no, seriously, this isn't a joke. Pray for me that I would have a grace to burn for Jesus to the day I die, to be totally in love with him. And she's just experiencing the love and the presence of God. She lays hands on me. I mean, and I'm just like soaked in his presence. I'm like, I feel like a puddle. And she just starts laughing and she's like, oh, honey, don't worry about it. Just let it happen. Isn't that sweet? Let the love of God happen. I'm like, okay. And then she gives me, she's been in the 24-hour prayer gathering, and then she gives me this little piece of paper, and she's like, I was just sitting here writing down every single town in South Dakota that I could think of, asking the Lord to just pour out his spirit there. Here, just take that and pray over it. I will take that. Isn't that great? Let's get a vision for our life. Doesn't have anything to do with the stage. Doesn't have anything to do with recognition or acclamation. Has everything to do with a lovesick heart for Jesus till the day we die. That is the greatest commandment, and it's going to get you the greatest reward. And the greatest joy, man. Let's look at Mark 12. Verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Then right after this, he says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor like yourself, which you can do if you're loving God with everything. It's pretty impossible if you try to do that before loving Jesus. So I actually want to break this scripture down because it's been really helpful to me to break this scripture down into actually four parts. Because I feel like, I don't know about you, but sometimes you hear, okay, the greatest commandment is to love God. What does that mean, though? How do I know if I'm actually loving God, how he defines loving him? Because surely it's more than a feeling, right? I mean, I love to feel love for the Lord. He's so worthy. He's amazing. He loves us when we feel his presence and feel love. But what about on a day you don't feel warm and fuzzy? Can you love him with all your heart? Mind, soul, and strength? I would say yes. But we need to know, like for me, I want to know, what does it look like to love the Lord? How do I measure? Am I doing it? And I believe you can measure it. I believe you can look at the Word of God and say, how am I doing? How am I doing at loving you? Not how am I doing at feeling warm fuzzies. How am I doing at living a life of loving you, Jesus? When the warm fuzzies are there and when the warm fuzzies are not there, when I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, when I'm by that sweet stream being laid down on little blades of grass by the shepherd, right? So let's break this down into four things. The Lord said, I want you to love me with all your heart. Do you know your heart? Your heart is your passions. It's your dreams. It's your inward desires. And when the Lord says, I want your heart, he's saying, I want your dreams. I want your dreams to be wrapped up in me. I want to dream with you. I don't want you to be dreaming away from me. I want to do everything with you. I want your heart. I want your passions. What you're passionate about. I want it to be wrapped up in the kingdom. And I think we can know where our heart is when we know what our dreams are for our life. I would love 5 acres, 3 miles out of town. I would love that. Oh, for 10 years, I just want 5 acres. 3 acres would be okay. 3 acres, 5 miles out of town. I could go anywhere within that. A little piece of heaven, really, really close though, so I don't have to have four-wheel drive or anything. Easily get back and forth. But you know, I've laid that down over and over again. You know, Lord, if that wouldn't be something that just honors you, I don't really want to pursue it. I'll just live on the red house on Idaho Street for the rest of my life. I mean, you're going to be with me no matter what. I mean, I don't think he minds if I have a dream to have an acreage. I grew up a farm girl. I love that. Although I don't want no animals, absolutely no animals, no chores. I also grew up on a farm. I understand. People are like, oh, I want a little hobby farm. No, you don't. They're not that fun. No, I'm just teasing. Yeah, so, but you know, I surrender that all the time. I go, well, if it would bring you glory, then give it to me, Lord. But if I have to make it happen and somehow that's going to bring more work on me and take away from other things and it's not going to bring us closer together, then you know what? In heaven, I'm going to have an acreage. I bet. I just bet you. It's going to have a gazebo, a large farm, a raspberry patch, and an orchard. No animals. Not even in heaven, a dog. Dog and a cat. The Lord wants our heart. And years ago, I was thinking on this, and I had this epiphany. I'm like, you know, if all of our dreams and our passions are wrapped up in Christ, like even our dreams to have a godly family, why? Because we want to bring him glory. We want Jesus in the middle of our family, right? I mean, these dreams, a lot of dreams, like two people can have the same dream and one of them is like, just, it's all about Jesus. And that same dream could be all about themselves for another person. But you know, if all of our dreams are wrapped up in God, then death has no sting for us. We just step into like unhindered fellowship with the one who holds all of our dreams. We want to love you, Jesus, with all of our heart. We're just going to pray it right now. We want to love you with all of our heart, with all of our dreams, with all of our passions, all of our desires. We just want them to be pointed straight at you, Jesus. We want everything, even our hobbies, even the ways we refresh ourselves, which are beautiful, we want that refreshing to be like we're refreshing ourselves in God, not away from God. We're having hobbies where we do it together with you, Jesus, not apart from you. Lord, we just declare right now, would you anoint us to love you with all of our heart, our passions, our inner desires, and our dreams, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Lord also says, love me with all your soul. You have a soul. It is your emotions. It's your personality. It's your feelings. And you know, the Lord wants you to love him with your soul. When you get saved, your spirit gets born again immediately. But then we go through a process of the process of redeeming our soul, the process of becoming more like Jesus in our emotions, right? In our personality, in our feelings. And the Lord says, I want you to love me with your soul. So this is what that means. Do you know that when you have, let's say you wake up one morning and you just feel messed up on the inside. We've all been there, right? You wake up, you're just mad, you're angry at the world. You're frustrated. You just wake up into like, oh man, I just want to, right? I mean, we all have those days. You wake up or you wake up super depressed for no reason or something. in those moments when we face our inner feelings, our inner emotions, and we say, no, that's not okay. It's not okay that I feel angry right now. I'm not gonna bite someone's head off because I think it would just make me feel better. I'm not gonna take this feeling out on my family or my coworkers. And when you, in that moment, take kind of authority over your feelings and you make them come underneath the Lordship of Jesus, you just poured an offering of love out on Jesus Christ. Maybe you didn't even know it, but right then you just said, Jesus, I love you with my soul. I love you with my soul. How about your personality? Some of us have parts of our personality that, I mean, we celebrate each person in the unique way that they are. We don't all have to be cookie cutters. But there are times that they're part of our personality, like who we are. I'm sorry, it's not redeemed. It's not from Jesus. You need to change it, right? Let's just say a part of your personality you've always had is that when you joke around, you like to put others down. Like you think it's kind of funny to be really sarcastic and put someone else down through sarcasm. Is Jesus sarcastic? Does he put you down? Of course not. That's a part of your personality that, I mean, you might have had it since you were two, but it's something that the Lord would want us to grow in, right? And to grow out of it because he wants us to be encouragers. But do you know when you recognize that, let's say one day, you know, you recognize, man, I'm always like in my joking, I'm putting my spouse down or my kids down, and I'm seeing the effects of that around. I got to change that. And in that moment where you're like, God, man, this is how I've always been. This is so hard. How do I change how I've always been? But you're going before the Lord and you're saying, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be an encourager. I want to be someone that when they bump into me, they get love spilled out, not sarcasm. And in that moment when you're facing that dark kind of unredeemed part of your personality and you're facing it straight on, you're saying, no, it's not okay. Do you know what you're doing? Pouring love out on Jesus. You were literally giving him a love offering. You didn't even know it. You didn't even sing a song. And you're saying, I love you with my soul. And I want my soul to bring you glory and honor. I want my emotions to glorify you, Jesus. I want my personality. I want to be the unique person you meant for me to be, redeemed, consecrated, godly. And it can be a challenge, but the grace of God is on you. The power of God is on you to even change personality stuff. And I know how it is. Some of us grew up generations and generations of bad tempers in the family. I mean, but never just say, well, it's because it's that Irish temperament. Don't make excuses. Just go to the Lord. He has the power of God to break that thing, right? I mean, I empathize. I get it. There's some weaknesses that I've had to deal with in myself. Oh my goodness, this like comes so naturally. I can see this has been passed down for generations to generations. Certain ways families react and certain things that I want to honor everybody, so I won't get into too much. But you know what? No excuses. Doesn't matter if daddy and granddaddy and grandma and great grandma and, you know, what is the power of, is the blood of Jesus powerful? Did the cross do anything? Did it actually redeem you? Then it redeemed all of you, right? So we love him with our soul. Let's pray. Let's give our souls to the Lord right now. Lord, we just say we want to love you with all of our soul, Lord. We want to love you with our emotions. We want to love you with our personality. We want our personality to bring you glory and honor. And any part of our personality that hurts others or shames the name of Christ, we just say, God, help us. Help us to lay that down and to conform that into the image of Christ. Lord, we want to love you with our feelings. With our feelings, Lord. And when our feelings are doing something they're not supposed to, Lord, we're going to take authority over them. We're not going to let them drive the car. We're going to tell them what to do. We're not going to let them run our lives and run our faith. Jesus, we just say right now, we love you with all our soul. And everyone say, amen. Amen. Number three, we want to love the Lord with our mind. This is your thoughts. This is your thought life. This is even like what you choose to learn. You know, hopefully you're a forever learner. Not just you went to school to 12th grade and you're done learning. I mean, I hope all of us are continually learning. Reading books, taking interest in something, learning to do new things. Do you know that you can love the Lord through the way that you learn? Through the way you better yourself? You have choices in what you bring your, you know, pour your attention into. This is your thoughts, your thought life. And Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed in your thinking. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the scripture says that the word of God literally like washes our mind, transforming us into the image of Christ. Do you know that when you find those crazy thought patterns, maybe you have, we all do, I mean, everyone has dealt with this. You have a pattern of thinking that is destructive. That's maybe a pattern that's negative, critical. Maybe you have issues like half the time you just like always thinking about critical thoughts about other people. And you have this stronghold of your mind in that area. Or maybe in your thought life, you have a problem with negativity. Or you have a problem with lust, where you've always got a movie going in your mind and it's not from the Lord. Do you know that when you confront the areas of darkness in your mind, you are pouring out a love offering on Christ? When you say, it's not okay that my mind isn't like Jesus's in this area, I'm going to get into the word. I'm going to start speaking truth over myself. You know the process. We've taught on this so many times, the process of renewing your mind, right? Identify the lie, ask God for his truth, and then pray it and speak it over yourself continually. Sure. Identify the lie that you're believing and then find out what God says, the truth, and then pray it and speak it over yourself continually. This is how you renew your mind, with the washing of the word. But when you do that, you need to know that that's connected to love. That's connected to actually loving him. So we all know as believers, if you've been in Christ very long, okay, yeah, I got to get rid of my stinking thinking. I need to line up with the Lord. But what I want you to connect this is how I love him. This is one of the ways that I show him, I love you so much. I love you so much that I don't want to think things that you're not thinking. I love you so much. And honestly, to do it from the place of love gives you even more strength. It's because I love him. I don't want to have thoughts that aren't his thoughts. So because I love him, I'm not letting it rest. I'm confronting things that destroy and corrupt in my mind. And I'm transforming myself by the word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus. Number four. Oh, we got to pray. We got to pray on that one. I'm praying on every single one of these. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Now put one of those hands on your brain. Say this, actually repeat it after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my mind. I'm going to love you with all my mind. I give you my thoughts. I give you my thought life, my thought patterns, and I give you my learning. I want to glorify you, and I want to love you well with all my mind. Amen. The last thing Jesus says is, what it looks like to fulfill the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your strength. I think this might be my favorite one. I mean, they're all great, right? But I have a favorite, strength. Do you know that every single one of you have been given from the Lord strengths in your life? These are your gifts. You're just your gifts that you have. They're your abilities. Things that you're able to do. They're your talents. They're your money. Every single person in this room that owns that holds down a job has been given the ability to hold down a job from the Lord. It's the Lord that anoints you and gives you the ability to make wealth, right? Money is one of the strengths of our life. So I love partnering with the Lord through giving. It's one of my strengths I get to love him with. Lord, if I have this money, how can I love you well? This is one of the strengths of my life here. I want to give it to missions. I want to fund something great. I want to, you know, bless somebody in need. You've given me some strength here, right? Each one of us have abilities from the Lord. Some of you are the most amazing homemakers. You have an ability from the Lord to create a haven in your home. You have this talent and ability from God to make your family feel safe, to invite others into an environment that's so sweet, to make homemade bread. God bless you, Rosanna Hofer. That's like a God-given talent. It's a God-given ability. One of the few times in the Old Testament that we see the Holy Spirit coming and resting on an individual was a guy that I don't remember his name, and he was anointed by the Lord to build the tabernacle. Oh, man, I'm really sorry. I don't remember recall his name at this moment because we never talk about him. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt on a person before the Holy Spirit was poured out. Very few people in the Old Testament received an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But this guy did, so he could work with his hands and do artisan work. Do we have anyone in the room who you work with your hands? Like a mechanic, builders? Alex, raise your hand. There you go. All right, several. Do you know God gave you the ability to work with your hands? And do you know that you can be, I mean, filled with the Holy Spirit because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but do you know you can be filled with the Holy Spirit for that purpose? Anointed to work with your hands. It's one of the strengths of your life. But what you need to know is that when you work with your hands, you can do it as a love offering to the Lord. When you take the strengths and the abilities and the gifts that God's given you, and you work and use those for the glory of God, it is an offering poured out. You can go to work every single day and think, oh, I'm not really in ministry. I mean, I work for the Center for Independence, or I just work for the railroad, or I work for Walmart or whatever. You can do that. You can go through hum-ho, this is just my job. Or you can do that same activity literally as an offering of love poured out on Jesus Christ. Today, every gift and ability that you give me, I just give back to you. Today, I use my gifts for your glory. If I'm going to check somebody out at Walmart, you know, those checkers, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. A car. You honor Jesus through the way you work. We love a car so much. Do you see why I love this one so much? Let's turn to Matthew 25. It's not on your sheet. It's too long. But if you have a Bible, I'd love for you to turn there. If not, I will read it to you. Matthew 25, verse 14. And in verse 14, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. This is like an illustration of Jesus right now is away on a long trip. Honestly, he's going to return to the earth. He's speaking right now of this period of time we're in right now, where he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. We have been given the Holy Spirit with all kinds of gifts and talents. And there's going to be a day he's going to return in glory. And he's going to rule and reign on the earth from Jerusalem. But in that meantime, he called his servants together and he entrusted money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Everyone just say, that is not going to be me. Don't do it. Don't do it. You got a gift. Use it. After a long time, their master returned from his trip. He called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest. I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you did not plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. Let me tell you, when you use one of your abilities for the Lord, there's no chance you're going to lose it, ever. The master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant, gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered that the money from the servant, from this servant, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who had 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they've been given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. The Lord gives every single person gifts and talents. Don't let yourself fall into a trap of the enemy where you just want what somebody else has. That hurts the body so much. It hurts the whole world. Like God gave you something for you to use. It's unique. And don't worry if you feel like, gosh, I'm just a one talent person. I have felt like that before. Oh man. I may only have like 1 ounce of talent in this area, but I'm just gonna try to use it for your glory, Jesus. I can't do any more than what I can do. Don't worry about what someone else has. What did he give you? What has he placed before you? What strength do you carry? You know, in 2017, we went to Awaken the Dawn in Washington, D.C. Do you remember that? And there were 58 tents on the National Mall and a tent for every state. South Dakota had its own tent. We went for 50 hours straight, night and day worship, right there on the mall. A little tent, 10 by 20 tent. And South Dakota's tent was led all by South Dakotans. It was so exciting, just giving Jesus this offering of worship. Do you know that would have almost been impossible had there not been a man named Bill Tripp, who drove the van. I'm not joking. Have you tried to drive a van through DC? I wouldn't have touched it with a 10-foot pole. He maneuvered it, I think, with a trailer behind him for a while. And I remember during that event, I mean, there are times that I'm like, you know, people needed to get back to the hotels. I mean, it's not like, it's really hard to navigate Washington, D.C. We were having to navigate subways and all different kinds of transportation. It takes a long time. And Bill was always like, I can do that. I can pick him up. I can drive him there. I'll get the van down there so we can load the instruments. And at one point he said, this is my gift. And I was like, you are so right. This is your gift. Like, love poured out on Jesus' feet. I would have been sad if Bill was like, I don't want to drive the van. I want to sing in the tent instead. I wouldn't have been sad. Now, he might be able to sing. I haven't ever heard that. That wasn't... He says like this. Okay. The point was, he had a strength. Like, he really had a strength. He took the wheel and it was his. Like, I thought they were going to have to rotate people. But he was like, nope, I got it. Through Chicago, all the way. Through D.C., back and forth, carrying instruments, carrying people. And praise God that he embraced what the strength the Lord gave him in that moment. He was our provision. He was the provision for 15 people from our church who went there, who couldn't have gone back and forth or even gotten there if he hadn't said, I have a strength in this area. I'm not afraid to do that. Whatever God's given you, if you will use it for his glory and his love poured out. Chad, why don't you come and get ready here? And I want us to pray over our strengths right now. And I hope, I really pray that right now, as we've been talking about this even, that things have come to your heart and your mind. Like, yeah, you know, I have a strength in this certain area. I'm really good at this certain thing. I feel like there's a certain area of my life that I can give to Jesus. And I could love him really well in that. Let's pray over our strengths right now. Lord, Father, we just give you our strengths, Jesus. Whatever ability you've given us, whatever talents you've given us, whatever money you've given us, Lord, we want to love you well with that. We don't want anything that you've given us to be wasted. We don't want to bury a hole and be too afraid to use it. We don't want to use it for our own gain and not get any reward. Lord, every strength we have, we want it to be for your glory. A love offering poured out. A love offering poured out for you. God, I pray right now, your supernatural inspiration, Holy Spirit inspiration and ability would come on every working person here. And they would just say, I know now how I can work every day for the glory of Jesus. How I can put my hand to the task of the job you've given me even more for the glory of God. Let's stand up right now. We're just going to spend a few minutes worshiping the Lord, just loving on him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We just want to pour ourselves out, Lord. One of the ways we love you, Jesus, is with our song. It's with our lifted hands. It's with our words. Lord, we want to set our heart on this dream, a new dream, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength for all of our days. Thank you, Jesus.
My desire is you, my first love is you, my soul longs for you, Jesus, my desire. My soul longs for burn in me. I will rise to seek your face, O Lord. All consuming fire burn in me. My desire is my desire. First love is you. My soul longs for you, Jesus. Here I am. So here I am upon your altar. All consuming fire burning. I will rise to seek your face, O Lord. All consuming fire burn in me. Here I am. Here I am upon your altar. All consuming fire burn in me. I will rise. I will rise to seek your face, O Lord. All consuming fire burn in me. Sing, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. All consuming fire burn in me. Have your way.
Opportunity for a few of you just to come up and just to release a prayer of worship to the Lord during this next song. And so this isn't necessarily a prayer petition. We're not going to like enter into intercession. We're really just going to worship, continue worshiping the Lord. So if you just have something, you just want to declare something to the Lord that you love about him, I'm just going to be up here with the mic. I just encourage you to make your way up. We're just going to continue to worship. And then if you have something, you're just going to declare and pour your love out on the Lord, and we're just going to agree with you.
Declare to the Lord that I'm going to serve him and love him with my mind, heart, soul, and my body. And because he deserves it, he deserves all of me. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him all of me.
Well, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that my circumstances is not the way it is. I thank you, Lord, that you have the ability to rise up and make paths straight again, Lord.
To me in Song of Solomon where the Lord says the woman says, I am my beloved's, I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. God, we just thank you, oh God of the universe, that created all things, that your love is for us. I just declare that you are beautiful and that you are worthy and you are amazing, that your love and your desire is for us. You who created the heavens and the universe and the galaxies, you see us. Like we are right before your eyes every single day. I just declare that is so beautiful. That is so almost hard for us to comprehend. That you who created everything loves us, each one of us, individually, uniquely. I just thank you how you created each one of us so uniquely, and that because of that, you have a unique love for every single one of us. Not a single one of us is hidden from your eyes, but you see all of us, and you love us with this great, incomprehensible love. We just declare that you are the beautiful one. You are the worthy one. You are altogether beautiful. You are altogether lovely and worth more than our minds can even imagine or understand. We just thank you, Jesus.
I want to thank him because I believe that I can trust him with anything I tell him.
Beautiful, and the frost that you put on the trees and the way that the snow sparkles, it's so beautiful. You wouldn't have to do that, but you do. Open our eyes to see your beauty, like the beauty in a woman that dances before the Lord when at 80 and 90,
There's beauty in that. There's beauty in children that dance and wave flags unhindered, unashamed. God, I pray that we would see more of your beauty around us, God. Thank you that you spoke the world into existence. Thank you that this beautiful world that we get to live in, you spoke with a word, and you're still creating with words. You're still creating with a word. Open our eyes to see your glory and to see your beauty. Thank you, God.
I want to thank the Lord for what he's done in my life to transform me to where I'm at now. And I wouldn't want to go back on any one thing, because everything has made me who I am. And I just want Jesus to be the center of my heart and to really fulfill him and just walk in this, and that he gets the glory and I don't want any of it. I just want his glory to shine out in everything we do.
And let's take these two, and then we're going to sing that chorus again before we close out. Come on up, Sherry.
Well, I'm not sure, but I just get the Holy Spirit cries. I don't know what else to call it. Like, I'm just sitting over here just crying. I can't even sing the songs, you know. That happens to me, though. I think it must just be because it's kind of, I think it's just because the Lord, I know that God is longing for more of me, and my soul is just crying out for more of him. These words, it just makes me, oh, so I feel like I'm going to fall down right now. But anyway, so just, I guess we just got to keep each other, keep me in prayer, please. And I'm just happy about more things, exciting things that are going to happen in my life. So please, glory to God. To God be the glory. Amen.
I just want to declare this song over us this morning, that in this dry, weary land, that the first person that we seek after is Jesus, that our main focus, God, would be you, Lord. It would be our focus, our main reason to wake up in the morning and to see that sunset or that sunrise that Shannon spoke about, how your beauty, Father, like your artistic beauty, God, it reveals yourself to us. God, help us, Father. We just want you to be our main focus.
Let's just sing that chorus just one more time and we'll close.
Come and take your place in the center of our hearts. Come and take your place, have the preeminence, Jesus. Come take your place in the center of our hearts. Come and take your place, have the preeminence, Jesus. Come and take your place in the center of our hearts. Come and take your place. Have the preeminence, Jesus. Come and take your place in the center of our hearts. Come and take your place, yeah. Come and take your place in the center of our hearts. Come and take your place.
Yes, Lord, we just say, come and take your place in the center of our hearts, Jesus. God, we know it takes you to love you. Literally, God, we're asking for an anointing to have a life poured out for you, Jesus. We just say, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Would you give us grace and anoint us to love you with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, for all of our days. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.